Hi everyone. I'm really sorry for coming late. It's my fault. It's not your fault. Rabbeinu Akiva, I'm going to pray for me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First of all, I'm really, really happy and excited that you guys have found a forum to be here for, which is a really, really good thing. I think youth get stuck in a situation when they get a particular age, they feel sort of left out. Because they're not longer the youth. Year 11, 12, first year uni, second year uni, feel a little bit awkward when you go in youth meetings. And thank God that when Joseph organized this meeting, because it's really healthy and it's important for us to come together to stay nourished. Otherwise you get sucked into the work environment, you get in the studies and everything else, and then lose your spiritual influence that's happening in your life bit by bit, and that's dangerous. Okay, what I want to ask me to chat to you about today is quite an interesting topic. It's what I understand from it, and I hope I'm right in going that way. All right, it's God's will in my relationships. So at the outset, I'm not going to talk about man-woman relationship at this stage, but we will get to discuss this, okay, towards the end. But initially to understand that the idea of relationships is much more bigger than just simply marriage relationship or fiance, engaged couple sort of relationships. So there are many angles. Relationships vary obviously from your relationship with your own self, your own being. Some people hate themselves, some people despise themselves, some people love themselves, some people have problems in accepting themselves. There's a whole heap of me relationship thing. That's an issue. There's the relationship with parents, there's relationship with siblings, partners, friends, work friends, extended families, in-laws, and your relationship with church. So it's too big. I didn't know where to go. But it's quite an important topic to get a chance to chat to you about a little bit. So let's have a look at it. You're welcome. If there's anyone using the screen up there, if you want to pull up verses that everyone can look at, because we're going to look, not many, but we're going to look up some verses to just get an idea of what's happening. So you're welcome to do that as we travel along. Okay? So, first of all, in regards to relationships, to be able to set the whole thing correct, fix it all up, because it can get really, really messy, the best thing to start with is to return back to the base. You know how you guys, we all use computers and phones, Android phones, of course, the best of the best. What's the problem? Why are you laughing? No, just, all right, iPhones as well. You know when you get in trouble? You know when you get in trouble? And then what do you do when you get in trouble? You simply reset the whole thing, okay? Just get rid of all this ugly data, the stuffing everything up, start again, okay? Or your laptop is stuck, it's not going anywhere, so you do a reset and you start the whole thing again, okay? So I think also in the spiritual realm, we are needing to do this once in a while and to make sure that we're doing it quite regularly. So the reset is, in our humanity, is quite important. What do you guys think the reset is? If I said you're going to press the reset button, what does it mean? What's your opinion? What's your take on it? I'm just going to say, I'm going to reset. Go right ahead and please don't be embarrassed. Anybody got any ideas of what that means for your own personal space, life? If you want to reset, what's that supposed to, what are you going to, what's your default? Where are you going back to? Huh? Maybe, yeah. Baptism, if you remember that date. What are you resetting to? Confession. Okay. But I'm not asking how to do it. What are you resetting to? You're not God. Yes, at the back there.
How Jesus wanted from the first place.
Thank you very much. Yeah. This guy's a champ. Give me a clap. Thank you. Simple. If you got created in a particular way, you, not Adam and Eve, okay? You, as a human being, God created you. And when He created you, He's designed in you some beautiful things. There are talents, there are gifts, there's your humanity, okay? Now, as you're traveling through life, obviously it gets traumatized. You know, your teacher could have said something that upset you, your mum and dad could have said something, whatever trauma you come up with, a friend of yours let you down, whatever it might be. You get traumatized, okay, as you travel along. That's not the position that you're supposed to be in, at that place where you've suffered. You're supposed to be back to what God made you to be, at the very beginning, right? So we have to reset back to what God made us to be at the beginning of things. Do you agree with that? Make sense? Okay, so there is obviously a common thread. There is a common thread between all of us. And then there is an uncommon thread between all of us. We're all different, yet we're all the same because we're all created in the image and the likeness of God. So when we say we're going to reset, we're going to do it in two ways. You following? First, you're going to go back to the first image and likeness of God that He created us in, and then you're going to go back to what God made you as an individual to be. Without doing this, every single relationship you're going to enter into is going to be stuffed. Your own relationship with yourself, mom and dad, friends, colleagues, every aspect of your life is going to get messed because you're not capable to deal with your own issues within us. And we're all in the same boat, okay? We're all having these different experiences. So it's a must that we get back to do this resetting. So let's talk about the common stuff, right? Which is the image and the likeness of God. I've mentioned a few times at our church with our youth. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but let's see how you go. When we say we are created, let's deal with this first. When we're created in the image and likeness of God, what's the difference between image and likeness? Noting in the original context of the document of Genesis, it doesn't say two words, image and likeness. It's got one word. It uses one word, one term, which I can't remember. But it uses one term, and then that one term means image and likeness. Can someone please share with us, what do you think is the difference between we are created in the image and in the likeness? What's the difference between the two? Can someone please share with us what the difference is? When we say we're created in the image and likeness of God, what's the difference? And if you get to work this out, you're going to be happy. Because it's the beginning of the reset. You're really going to find joy. But what is it? What's this concept of the image and likeness? What's the difference in image and likeness? Listen, there's no place for shyness here. Please, talk. What is the difference between image and likeness? Yes?
Likeness is characteristics of God.
Yeah. Close. So image. Thank you. Excellent. So image is the aspects, attributes, characteristics of God. Were you there in the morning?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. But I didn't get to finish the talk though. But I was stuck. There was a condolence. We were taking there was a wake. Condolences happening, and I was stuck. I was told to give a talk, so I used tonight's talk. Sorry, but not all of it. Not all of it. Some of it. Okay. Now she was there. Oh goodness. So, image is the, what is it again? Image is the characteristics, aspects, attributes of God. Examples. You guys, all of us, we can love. We can have hope. We are immortal. We live forever. We don't die. We continue to live. We are immortal. What else can we do? What else can we do? Here, let me just put this phone on absolute silence, otherwise it's going to go crazy on me. What else can we do? We can procreate. This is crazy. I'm not talking about kids here, okay? All right, let me explain to you. So, in the Mass, this is a really beautiful example, because we can procreate, right? What does that mean? In the liturgy, we come to offer to God bread and wine. That, in itself, is a creation. We get to take yeast and flour and water, and we mix them all together, and we, lo and behold, we've got a piece of bread. Pieces of bread don't grow on the ground, do they? So we collect all this stuff and make bread. Wine, the same thing. We take grape, we fertilize it, fermented, and then we end up with wine. It wasn't wine before, but now it is. Okay? You follow us, Sleepy? Okay, so we procreate with God, okay? So we give him... Have you ever seen a monkey make bread? Who's seen a monkey make bread? Nobody. Have you seen any animal take from what is in nature and create something else? I haven't come across it. Yes, Mark? And me? Fee? No, there isn't. Well, animals are limited to use what's in front of them. Yeah? Bees, for example, can use what's in the flowers, and it's sort of like a natural system in place, a program. But we don't do that. We take things from different places and we mix them in a way and present something else. We create. We make rockets. We make airplanes. We make microphones and phones and all these things, okay? We do things. We build buildings like that and architecture of it and all that stuff. So we are able to create things, okay? So we've got that. Okay, that's the image. What's likeness? What's likeness? Anyone remembers? Oh, no. Anyone knows? If we're creating an image of God, that's his attributes and aspects and all that stuff. What's likeness? If we're created in the likeness of God, what does that actually mean? Any ideas? I'll give you 2 seconds. One, two. Thank you. All right. Likeness is actually the fulfillment of the actual tasks or abilities or attributes that are created in us. So we start to apply them, the application of. So if you're capable to love, this is the likeness. The fulfillment, the action of loving itself, of giving of yourself and sharing, that's now the likeness of God. It actually goes forward and becomes. Okay? So you're creating the image and the likeness of God. Does it make sense? Now, if you don't do that, if you're creating the image of God, but not in his likeness, or you move away from the likeness, you're going to become something else. And that's going to cause problems. So if you start becoming selfish, for example, it looks like it's fun, it looks like it's exciting, but then you're going to get unhappy inside you. It starts to get messy within you. Okay? Kalakia, I think kalakia, complexes. And then you get unhappy. Okay? But if you do what we're designed to do, you start to become peaceful because you're going back to default again. Okay? And that's why we see people like, for example, St. Augustine, where he said, I'm on top of the world when I desired nothing and feared no one. That's an attribute of God and likeness of God. He's like God. So what ends up happening is that he's free and he's peaceful. Okay? If you follow with me, people like Mother Teresa and all these people around us, and all these saints, St. Bishoy and Marimina, all these people have lived at a point where they practice the image and likeness of God. This is beautiful. This is the first place to start correcting within us. Second place, as we said, to discover your being. Who am I? You're all individuals. See, the problem that if you don't get that point, you start comparing yourself, you open up Women's Weekly, all the girls, and compare themselves to this model and this model and this model and this dress and this dress. She looks like this and she looks like that. And then you start becoming sad that that's not me. She doesn't have it. Why? Or he's driving this car, or she's, why come I want this car? You get troubled, okay? Because you're not being who you are. It's troubling you. So you keep comparing. Therefore, it becomes problematic. That's troublesome. So you can't enter into relationships when you've got all this load on you. They can't even become like God that he created you. And you, at the same time, you're comparing yourself to everybody else. So it's tiring. It's really exhausting. Together? So if we can manage, just at the outset, to deal with these 2 points, we're in a good foundation now to start a relationship that is healthy. Particularly in marriage. You can now really to establish something that is joyful and correct. With family, the same deal. We come across so many situations where brothers and sisters are at war with one another, and it all goes back to something within their life that traumatized this individual, that cause them to dislike. Yeah? But if they can reset to love themselves, love God, and return back to the base of who they are, they'll be okay. It's not that complicated. Following me? Okay. So that's the first point. So if we're going to talk about the idea of love as an attribute of God, we can look up in the Bible and find in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and to verse 7. 1 Timothy 1, 5. It reads like the following. It says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." This is a person that is so confused, right? So the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart. So to return back to a basis of default, we need to love. Love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. Some people stray from that, right? Consequence of that, idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. This is really problematic. So, okay. Now, let's say someone has gotten, we've understood that we need to go back to default, to image and likeness of God. I'm getting to know myself. What do you think, as I'm traveling through this road, what do I need? What's one tool you would want to use to make sure that you continue to stay happy, joyful? What do you think one thing you're going to need? Okay, again, so let's assume I've worked it out and I'm at peace with God, I've reconciled with God, and I've reconciled with myself. I'm at peace. Yeah? Beautiful. Which tool, what are you going to need to continue the journey? What do you think? Huh? Prayer is very important. Absolutely. Any other ideas? I'm not going to just... You know, all these ideas are beautiful. Prayer, Mark, patience. Be patient with yourself and people around you. Definitely. What else, huh? Guidance. Can you highlight a little bit deeper into this concept of guidance? What do you mean by it?
Spiritual guidance.
Why would you need guidance?
Why would I need guidance?
Why?
No, the concept of confession,
like, yeah, because
I'm thinking about it from
different point of view. Okay.
Talking about
God. True, yeah. We need to make sure. Okay, let me put it to you. We need discernment. We need prayer, we need patience with us, all that. But you also need something called discernment, which sadly the vast majority of Christians these days have no idea about. What's discernment? First, let me read you a verse that Solomon wrote. This is Proverbs 14:12, guys. Proverbs 14:12, fascinating verse. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man or woman, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." What's discernment? By the way, this is the basic principle that any person enters into monastic life gets taught. This is like a big deal for monks and nuns because they're at war with Satan. They've entered into a direct battle with the devil. Okay, so this point itself, they spend so much days of their life just to make sure that it's gotten correct and it's not going to go wrong in their life. What's discernment? Wisdom, close to it, yes, close. What else? Judging, yes, judging matters, correct. Anything else? Knowing wisdom, judging matters.
Knowing the voice of God.
Knowing the voice of God. So it's basically the same meaning, separating, okay? What is good, what is not good. What is from God, what is not from God. Because sometimes I can get fooled by my own self. I convince myself, this is from God. And it's not, because I've convinced myself about something that I want. It gets really messy. Okay. it gets really messy. We're trying to work out, what do I do here? That's why guidance is important. But that basic principle of asking God to bless you with the gift of discernment, it's really important. In Arabic, they say, تفهمها وهي طائرة. Okay, what does that mean? You get it as it's just flying past you. Like sometimes you might, I don't know if you guys experience stuff like this, but you may be in a situation and you just smell the work of the devil. And you work it out, this is not God. This is wrong. This doesn't look right. So you get it straight away. Or maybe all of a sudden a friend of yours is starting to get upset with you for some reason. You start to, instead of being upset with them directly, you start to realize Satan is doing something in the back there that's trying to wreck something. And I'm not going to fall for it. I'm going to remain loving and patient and forgiving. I will overcome it by love. Stuff like that, right? Discernment. To work out, where is this from? Where is this voice from? Is it the Spirit of God or the Spirit of darkness? If we don't have this, guys, we're going to lose the plot. That's why, sadly, a vast majority of Christians in the world, if you look at them, you can't tell that they're Christian. They look exactly like the rest of the world. They act exactly like the rest of the world. They dress like the rest of the world. They smell like the rest of the world. Behave like the rest of the world. Everything just like everybody else in the world. Yet, they put up their hands and say, I'm a Christian. And the angels of heaven wonder, what do you mean? Isn't that a problem? So discernment is being able to tell the difference of what is godly and what is not godly. Okay? Pray for it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. All right. God did not leave us alone. The Holy Spirit works with us. He guides us. Okay. In the Gospel of St. John, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. God will do that. Now, if you hear what I'm saying, say, well, gibberish, I have no idea what you're talking about, Abuna. That means you're disconnected. If I just said this now and you don't know what I'm talking about, please realize you're in trouble. Okay, this verse is saying God, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is Christ and deliver it to you. So you've got to connect with God like this. So you got to know, you have to feel God, you have to understand God, you have to realize that's His voice, you got to work with Him, glorify Him, and just be like this. Nothing's going to separate me from you. I get you, I hear you, I'm working with you. When I fall, I stand again. I can tell that God is close to me. This is really important. If we don't have that, it's a problem. Okay, let me just add in something a little bit, so that highlight a little bit more for you. Before we are baptized, it is potentially true that sin can be in us. Okay? There's a difference between sin in us and sin on us. Okay? Two different. Sin can be in us and you behave like the devil would behave. Then you come across sadly people like that. They behave, it's like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? Why would you do that? And this is because sin is like entwangled with their soul, right? Now, when we're baptized, we're freed from that. We're freed from this disease, right? We're given a new person that is, or it's the same person, but disconnected from this concept of in. Now, as a baptized Christian, all of us here, sin can come on us. You know, have you seen ducks in the water? What's the saying? How's the saying go? Like water off the back of a duck. Are you serious, guys? Wake up. Like water off the back of a? What does that mean? Water comes on my shoulder, on my feathers, and it just falls off. Sin, for a Christian, is exactly like that. It comes, yeah, it happens, but it won't stay inside. Quickly, it's removed. It's easy to get rid of. I stuffed it. I'm sorry, God. Shouldn't have done that. Get rid of it. I go confess and repent and stand again. That's what it's supposed to be like. But if sin has entered your soul again and your soul is sinful, you're in big trouble. You've wrecked the treasure that God has instilled in you. You're ruining it. It's not, be careful, okay? So when we say that the Holy Spirit will guide you, it means you're intact with God. You can tell the difference. This is your word. I can hear you, I understand you, I feel you, and I work with you. Okay, get it. All right, just keep that in mind. Now, we're just going to move on. Now, what are the signs that you're on the right path? We're getting to the good stuff, bit by bit. I'm just trying to build the basics, okay? What are the signs that we're on the right path? Okay, what are they? They are love, humility, flexibility, meaning that I'm not stubborn. I can correct my way. If I've done something wrong, it's okay with me to fix it. I'm not going to be stubborn about it. Okay? That means you're in the right path. Because a spiritual person is flexible against evil, not against goodness. Okay? Can change his mind or her mind. Okay? So, love, humility, flexibility. St. Peter's letter says, 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You've got to be flexible with God. You can't be stubborn. Okay? So if the Spirit is telling you this is wrong, you say, I am sorry. Fix it. Okay? This group of friends, I would look for that here. He didn't understand that. Good. Stay away from them. Disconnect. Okay? This movie is not good for my spirit. Turn it off. This game is not good for me. It's giving me bad ideas. Throw it away. This song is making me feel like I'm in love with him, but I'm not really in love. Well, don't listen to it. Fear. Make sense? Especially, I look at the guys more than the girls in this. They fall in love with a girl and the song just repeats itself and again and again. And they live in La La Land and she has no idea what he's talking about. Hello, welcome. Please, be careful, guys, okay? Be careful. So, be flexible to listen to the Spirit of God. If you feel this is not right, it's not right. Throw it away. Okay? You have to be flexible with God. On the contrary, what are the signs that I'm not in the right path? I'm on the opposite path. Okay. Galatians 5, very famous. Galatians 5, 15, 19. Says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So if these things apply to me, I should be worried again. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand? So if what we heard from Galatians 5:19 applies to me, then I'm not in the right path. And okay, so if I'm invited to a birthday party and the birthday party is full of this stuff and I stay, you should question yourself. Are you really a Christian? Like the original Christians when they came around? Or I'm just like a new modern child? Question ourselves. Or do I hold parties? Instead of the disco being out there, I'll bring it home. I'll make my party a full-blown, destructive, evil activity in the name of fun. The Bible is clear. If this is what I do, these are the signs of evil. That I'm not right with God. Okay? Bess. Okay. With the rest, with this rest assured, you will be blessed. I'm trying to work out what I said. I've noted some stuff here. Sure. So being right with God, there will be blessings. There are blessings in my life. Then make sure that understand that blessings don't equal money and stuff like that. Okay? Blessings mean I'm right with God. I feel peaceful with God. Okay? I've heard being the concept of discernment in my life. I heard my spiritual guide telling me that I'm going the right path and I'm at peace with myself. Because sometimes we convince ourselves otherwise. So listen to your spiritual guides. Really, really important. And you know that I've got my confession father, Abuna's got his confession father, Ambedanya's got his confession father, the patriarch has got his confession father. We're all needing each other. This is essential. Otherwise we lose our path. Okay? So we need this kind of spiritual support. Okay. I'll skip this part. Okay. Now, in being in connection with God like this, I become at peace with God, I become at peace with myself. Consequences of that are very good. There are things that come around it. One of them is that you start to discover some codes of practice that work well. The more spiritual you become, the more balanced you become. Okay? The more spiritual you become, the more balanced you become. I'm not talking about someone... don't misunderstand spirituality as an idea of disconnected from the world. No, not at all. There was a beautiful story of St. Macarius, lived as a seclusion, and then he was told to go and visit a couple of ladies married to two brothers, whose their deeds are equal to his deeds. So he went to Alexandria and found two sisters married to two brothers, looking after each other's children, and in the eyes of God, this is beautiful, perfect. They're living in peace and love and harmony. It's acceptable to God as the life of St. Macarius. Yeah? So the more spiritual you become, the more balanced you're going to become. So one of these balances that you'll find that will you'll tap into and will work, and I'm going to give you some cheat notes, and then we're going to conclude. Okay? Because most of us here are, marriage is something that is, either you're married or you're getting to get married. Okay? So in this realm, because relationships are built around that as well, I'm going to give you some pointers. You will discover the codes of love that make relationships work. Example, the needs and the needs of the male, the needs of the female, and the two will start to complete one another. Right? So once you are at a place where you're at peace with God and you're at peace with yourself, these things start to make sense. So, look, to be honest with you, I wanted to fit it in, but I didn't know how to fit it in. But so I'm going to talk to you about it anyway. Okay? Completing one another in marriage. So the male needs and the female needs. So that both are working in harmoniously in a way that is good and peaceful. Okay? There is ups and downs. Yeah, it's true. Okay? There's disagreements here and there, but overall it's going to be very beautiful. There are needs for the male and needs for the female. Men, listen to this carefully. Ladies, listen to this carefully. How many needs men do you think ladies have? That's the problem. No, there are only four in my calculations, okay? And I'll ask my wife, okay? Well, anyway. There are four needs that the female has, and there are how many needs for the male? How many? Three. Okay. So the female have four, and the male have three. Okay, let's discover which one first. Which one first? Huh? Means ladies first. Okay, ladies. Ladies, men, that anybody tells you food, don't believe them. It's got nothing with food. It's three basics. Generally speaking, I'm talking about you finding a man that is balanced, spiritual. I'm not talking about you marrying someone that's abnormal, okay? You marrying someone, as we discussed, is at peace with God, peace with himself. And the same deal with you guys as well, okay? So you're marrying someone who's balanced, they're at peace with God and peace with themselves. Therefore, the consequence of that, there are three needs for the men. The first need, he likes to be admired. Have a sahaba. Sorry, Buna.
I admire Buna.
He enjoys being admired. Okay, to him it's a big deal. Okay? And these three needs are all equal, by the way. He likes to be admired. Number two, as men keep thinking, then come up with conclusions, usually they don't like you. After all that time of thinking, you come around and tell them that their idea is stupid. That will make them very upset. Okay? So they need support. If the idea is not right, work with it. But raha, until you convince them this is not a good idea. And they'll be okay with that. But don't shock them. Okay? Because they'll be very hurt. So first, they want to be admired. Second, they love to be supported because it's needed for them. Number three, every male has this little baby inside. Okay? And now this little baby inside, he waits for the day that he meets his queen to share little child within him. Guys, if I'm saying anything wrong, you wouldn't have to tell me. Once he finds the one he really loves, he will then proceed to start to expose that weakness within him, that little child within. Now, your job is to make sure you be very tender and careful and nice and polite and hold that child forever and ever and ever. And to never, ever, ever in your life to use that weakness or that child against him in any shape, way or form. Otherwise, he's got gates of metal that will shut and he will not open for quite a while. So don't abuse him in that regard when he exposes that weakness, that little baby. Make sure you hold it carefully. Okay? That's a need of the three things for the male. Very easy. The females have four needs. Again, I'm talking about making a relationship where it's balanced in God, peace within myself. Four needs for the females. I know I got this right. I've asked a lot of people. Okay? Alright, number one. The female needs emotional satisfaction. Yawlad! They've ruined it before we started. You're not supposed to laugh. This is very serious. Okay. Emotional satisfaction. What does that mean? Emotional satisfaction. She likes to express herself with talking. And if you're the one she loves and you're not there, she's not happy. So if she tells you, if there's something within her and she wants to chat to you about it, and you're continuously not available, busy, or even scared to talk because you think, oh my gosh, what am I going to say now? All this stuff is going to come out, and you back off. You're not emotionally satisfying. You're becoming a problem. Or for example, this is the most classic example. Your mom has done something wrong to her, and she's feeling cut. So who she's going to talk to? You. Because she likes to, as she's speaking, she's putting the puzzle together and working it out. Okay? So she's chatting to you about what she did. If you all of a sudden, man, you come in there and you burst a comment like, don't talk about my mom like that. All what you've done now, all of a sudden you've moved the discussion to something that was not even there. You've just added to her another issue and another problem that she can't deal with right now. And she's upset with you now and it becomes a fight. Because what did that come from? I'm trying to work out with you that I love her anyway. What is this? And then all of a sudden you've got a war happening from nothing. So emotional satisfaction is where you're just available to hear until she's peaceful. Okay? I'm giving you the basic, it's not that simple, but it's like that, yeah. Emotional satisfaction. Okay? Second, what's second? And this is the problem in our culture. You guys are okay, I think. But older cultures have problems with it. Where you're capable to say to your wife, not to your fiancé, or there's no such thing as girlfriend, by the way. There's getting to one another, and then you become a fiancé, and then you get married. Okay? So, to your wife, you say I love you a lot, like 30 times a day. Okay, the more you say it, the better. It's good. She's really loving this. Okay, so you have to say the word I love you very clearly. Some men say things like, you know, I look what I've done for her. I've bought the car, I've built the house. I love you is what she wants to hear from you. Okay, essential. It's a must. She's got to hear it. Second, not within that realm, within the second point, the words of encouragement, like how beautiful she looks, the nice dress as well, all those nice compliments, she's wanting and needing to hear that. It's really essential to be done, okay? She's cooked something nice, you're complimenting it, that kind of thing, okay? This is number two. Number three, she is needing a secure environment, all right? We come across situations where there's domestic violence or that kind of stuff. That is very detrimental. And I've come across situations where the man would maybe break something in the house, really horrible stuff, and walk out. Now, the minute that he's walked out, all of a sudden he's just given her a shock at point number three, security. So she's feeling vulnerable and scared. And then she can maybe sometimes pick up the phone and say, look, don't be upset, please come home. To him, he said, I got her. Okay? Now, he's worked out that this is how he fixes her. That's how she's going to be obedient. Sorry, but this is very foolish. Because once, twice, three times, she breaks. So you know what? Go home, go away, I don't want you anymore. And for us abundance, this is the worst place to be. To try to fix that, after that break, to try to fix things back. So please don't be foolish. Provide a secure environment, a safe environment. So if there's any disagreement, you can begin by saying, I'm not going anywhere, but we have a problem. To her, that's fine. You've given a security kind of thing. Make sense? So security is important. Last thing is leadership, being proactive, a man that holds the family together. A man that's got a vision towards eternal life. A godly person that loves God and takes care of them. Holds them together and leads the path. Oh my goodness. If you can do that for the woman, happy, joyful. Okay? Now, why did I bring this into it? I wanted to bring it in here. Why? Because the more healthy households, The more healthy households we have, the more healthy children we will begot, and the more healthy children there are, the more benefit there are to society with a person with a balanced view in life who can have good relationships with people around them, and the whole thing just seems to work very, very well. But if we have a detrimental upbringing for someone that is suffering, which sadly happens quite a bit, that they're struggling to deal with what's inside, and then all of a sudden they've got a relationship and that relationship is breaking and hurting and all this mess starts to come in place. Okay? So we have a responsibility to make peace with God, make peace with ourselves, so that we can have healthy marital relationships to provide, and I'm not simplifying it that much, please don't take me wrong, because there are other issues that get really complicated, but I'm just giving you the basics, okay? When you have that kind of balanced environment, then you have balanced children who grow up in a balanced environment, who are good for society and good in relationships. And at the end of it, God is happy. Because God is not intending for us to be at war with one another. God intends us to be peaceful and joyful and to enjoy life. To enjoy your relationships, enjoy the creation of God, and so forth. Okay? The Lord bless every one of you through our abundance prayers. Glory be to Him forevermore. Amen. Do you have any questions?
We have got a couple of questions, but we might leave them for the next time, unless you've got a specific question that you want Abuna to answer. But because of time, we've got some food that next door, and Abuna maybe can will stay with us for the food. Yes, and you can have a one-on-one discussion with Abuna.